He's got a shield. He's got a sword. He's got a breastplate. He's got a helmet. He's girded his waist. He's got foot protective gear on. It's pretty hard to fight a battle in your bare feet. This title of this sermon is Start Out the New Year Right with Your Armor On. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. And we're going to talk about some troubling things today a little bit. Troubling in how things that trouble us that shouldn't trouble us. Okay? We're going to be talking about how many times... well, you'll see. You'll see as we go. We've prayed, and we need to get started because there is a good chunk of material here. This is from Ephesians chapter 6, and we're starting in verse 14. Starting in verse 14. Now, Paul has already instructed the believers to remember on who they fight against and where to have the strength and the power. The power is not in ourselves. The power is in the might of God. He says in 11 and 12 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Really, as a Christian, we are wrestling with an invisible enemy, nevertheless real. Many times we feel the battle. Many times we can feel the wrestling. It's almost as if it is a grappling match where you are doing this and you're throwing the words and they're trying to get their licks in and you're holding and you're holding and they're still trying to get their licks in. They're doing whatever they can do in order to trouble your souls and upset your peace and make you no longer feel like you're established. Now, when I say peace, I mean positional peace. If peace is a feeling, folks, we're in trouble, aren't we? When people talk about peace, they think of, did Job have peace? Did David have peace? Did Paul have peace? Did Jesus have peace? Seems like to me in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in such agony and such turmoil that he was sweating blood through his pores. None of us have ever been in that type of stressful situation, but it is a medical possibility that you can be under so much stress that you literally, blood comes out. The vessels of your skin are breaking, and blood is dripping. And so if peace is a feeling, all of us in here are in trouble at least daily, if not hourly. The peace that surpasses all understanding is the peace that we're going to see here today about standing, holding fast, and wrestling victoriously against the wicked one. So he says here that we wrestle with these individuals, we wrestle with these personalities, we wrestle with these wicked spirits, and by the way, they do have personalities, and they do have will, and they do have minds that scheme and try to eat your lunch any way they possibly can. They've been doing it for a long time, and they will do just about anything in order to screw you up inside. And I'm not talking about sin now, folks. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Okay, they can screw you up through sin, okay? But what I'm talking about is I'm talking about the Christian who is moving towards victory, different ways that they can hinder that. Stand therefore, here's where we're at, verse 14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, and I want you to see the words here, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay, here we go. All right. The first four are divided into positional truth, folks. These first four are positional truths that must be adhered to. And we're going to see a quote here really quick by Fred Dickinson on how serious these truths have to hold fast. How we have to hold fast to these truths. The first one is we have to stand, okay? Well, standing really isn't a truth. It's describing what we have to do with the next three. The truth is that we are in the truth, that we are righteous, and that we have the gospel of peace. When we have to wrestle with the schemes of the enemy, we have to adhere to these truths positionally in order to oppose those that oppose us. Here's a quote by Fred Dickinson in Demon Possession and the Christian, page 56. He says this: "The forces of Satan promote the doctrine of insecurity. From the beginning, Satan caused man to doubt God's character. Satan caused man to doubt God's work and God's sufficient supply for life and well-being. To combat the forces of evil, we must be assured of our security and be able to assure others. Assured victory in the battle allows no place for a lack of assurance in salvation." Now, let's just think through that really quick. Why would that be the case? Somebody just tell me. Why would... Janine.
Well, if you don't have the assurance of salvation, you're insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're insecure, you're easily led astray.
Yep. Yep.
How would you find something you're insecure about?
Exactly. Exactly. How would you be able to stand? You don't know who you are. It would be like a child. It would be like a child. Maybe somebody Gage's age or smaller. And he is questioning whether or not he's the child of his mom and dad. He's questioning because one time somebody told him that, you know what, you're really not their child. You've been adopted. And so, not that adoption's bad, but he buys into that. And so somebody says to him, "Who's your mom and dad?" What does he say? Yeah. Yeah. See, there's not much standing, folks, that goes on. Now, I see this all the time with people that deal with spiritual warfare. I've been to Sioux City, Iowa, or the International Center for Biblical Counseling. I've been out there, watched those guys do their stuff. I've worked with Fred. I've read stuff by Bubeck and other individuals, Unger. And guys, and the guy today, Neil Anderson, without exception, all of them say this has to be in place before you can have victory. And the devil knows that. And so his chief primary attack is in your place in the family. If you do not know your place in the family, it's pretty hard to stand against the other things that he throws at you. Now, let me ask you this. Is that stand a feeling that you just... I just know that I know that I know. Is it a feeling? How many of you guys, I'll be honest with you guys, okay, let's just do this. Let's do this little, and don't be shy. How many of you have to struggle, meaning wrestle, with faith? In other words, you have to bring God's verses to bear Let's say it this way. I want to make sure it's very clear, otherwise we're going to be going, what did he just say? I have no clue. How many of you have to wrestle on a weekly basis, let's say weekly, using faith but not feeling, when Satan's coming against you trying to tell you you're not really a believer? How many wrestle once a week with that? Okay, once a week, maybe some of us once a day. Okay, that doesn't mean you have lack of faith. That's not lack of faith. What that is, folks, you're wrestling. You're using the Word of God. You're using the sword of the Spirit. You're using the shield of faith. Just because those things come does not mean that you're a weak Christian. As a matter of fact, you're a very strong Christian, because you're doing what we talked about. Now, I want you to remember that movie 300. Here's how we have to be. The movie 300, the Spartans, there were 300 of them. That's why it's called 300. They had to defend a little. They were protecting themselves against Persia. Wasn't it not Persia? Okay. Who was the king? Was it Artaxerxes? Okay, Xerxes. They had overwhelming numbers against these 300 Spartans. And the classic scene is when the Persians were coming against them, just... And they said, "Spartans, hold!" And they got those big shields, and they got the knives, and they're holding, and they see them going, and they're sliding, but they're holding, and then they go, "Push!" And they all push, and the entire Persian army flies back. Then they bring in the swords. That was a classic scene. Classic scene. That's what you do. The enemy is coming against you in mass, and you are going, I like that for a little aggression. That's what I'm talking about. Was it difficult for them? It was very difficult for them. The army was coming against them hard, folks. Now, see, it's always funny when I ask that question, because people think, well, golly, if I say, yeah, I have to battle, I mean, that means, what does that mean? Well, no. Some people battle different ways. Some people struggle different ways. Some people have other struggles they struggle with. But they still have to apply faith. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, here's the first one. It says stand. Now, this stand is in truth. Okay, I believe that these are teaching positional truth to begin with. Okay, so the first one with stand is you have to stand in the truth. Okay, here is truth. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, and in which you what? Stand. By which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless of course you believed in vain. In other words, unless of course you did not believe what Paul is just about ready to say here. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the truth in which we must stand. Now, the world, the Persians, they come at us with all kinds of different untruthful philosophies, don't they? The cults are rampant with it. The cults, just the worldly philosophy of this world, the way they come at us with, all dogs go to heaven. Okay? Why would a good God send people to hell? Why, you know, just all the questions that people bring at us. Why only Christians? Why don't, isn't that what the Muslims say? Don't they say that they're the only ones? Yeah. Well, you all say the same thing. You all say, all the religions, Jews, Judaism, whatever, you all think you're the same one. Well, who's right? You know, pretty soon some of us, our heads are starting to spin, and we're going, well, yeah, that's a good point. I guess God really just, you know, I mean, if we're sincere in our religion, God, you know, we all know that's not the stand that we have to take in the truth. There's only one way, guys. There's only one right way. And this is it. That Jesus, the Messiah, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, let me ask you another question. Here's another one. How many times... Let's do this. Has the enemy ever come at you with this thought? What if Jesus really isn't who he said he was? You're laughing because I know you're thinking, yeah, I've had that thought before. Or this one. What if all that's made up? See, we're not too different, are we? Demons die in the light, by the way, folks. You know, it's a tougher fight, and that's what Satan does a lot of times. He isolates you. He makes you think that you're the only one that's ever thought that thought. And so it paralyzes you with fear because you're like, no Christian would think that thought. Well, as a matter of fact, folks, almost all of us think those thoughts from time to time. But what do? Okay, that's wrestling. You're wrestling. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly realms. Okay? So, truth, first of all, has to be a positional truth, and it means the gospel, standing in the truth. And not like Pontius Pilate, who got to the point, I mean, Pontius Pilate, man, that guy, he probably heard so much stuff. But many of us are headed that direction today. We say, what is truth? What is truth? That's what Pontius Pilate said. What is truth? I'm so confused. I got Epicurean Greek philosophers over here. They're saying this. They got these guys over here that say this. And these temple priests, they believe in Mars and Jupiter. And you know, I've been through it. I've seen a lot. You know what you know where I'm at? And this is Pontius Pilate talking. I probably don't believe in anything right now. That's him. He's probably to the point where he was, what's truth? I've heard it all. You got some new truth for me? Okay. So we have to stand in the truth of the gospel. How many of us have friends that think that way? What's the point? Everybody's got their own thing. What's truth? Let me have you show of hands. How many of you have friends that think that way? Yeah. What's the point? Yeah. The next armor that we have to put on, actually, we're going to see a little different word usage here, but it's righteousness. Okay, I really have to believe here, guys, that this is positional, because if you try to stand in your own righteousness, if this means putting on the breastplate of holiness, there's too many chinks. It's too easy to find a chink. Satan will always find a chink in that armor. Because you don't always do everything exactly right, do you? No. So it's got to be a positional piece. In other words, this positional thing is Romans 3:21. Look what it says. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through what? Faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference. For everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glory. being justified freely by his grace, verse 24, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, I skipped a couple verses there, but I'm still, this is the teaching. This is the context of the verse. So our righteousness is in another. Satan will always be able to battle your righteousness. If you try to stand in your own righteousness, he will always find a chink. He will always find a loophole. The performance-oriented Christian, the obsessive performance perfectionistic Christian, does not fare very well in this battle. Trust me, folks, I know. You are like a boat without an anchor, drifting. Always. You're always struggling with a what if. You're always struggling with a did I do enough. You're always struggling with a what if I, did I, should I, could I. Oh man, folks, that's no way to live. And so our righteousness has to be in another. And that is what it means, the breastplate of righteousness. Our righteous standing is in another. It is in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is a curse for me. The next one. Make sure. Okay. Boop. The gospel of peace. Now, this one, as we talk in Sunday school, there is some, not discrepancy, but there is some different views on what it means to shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Some people think that it means, well, this means evangelism. Well, I struggle with that because we're not talking about Christian work here. What we're talking about is wrestling and defending against the schemes of the wicked one. And so really, evangelism, it doesn't quite seem like that's what it's talking about here. It seems like it's talking about something different. It's talking about shodding your feet with the gospel of peace. In other words, it's another positional truth that means know what the gospel of peace is. The gospel of peace is this. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Period. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. A couple big ones here, guys. In this stand, it's your feet, it's your stand. If you do not have this as a standing piece of armor, you're not going to do much standing. And it's knowing the gospel of peace. It's being assured of the gospel of peace. It's being convinced in the sense of our faith of the gospel of peace. In other words, here it is, that I'm justified by faith, and that's how I have peace. I peace is not a feeling. Peace is not a... Yo, peace. It is a positional holding on to the word. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am no longer at war. I have peace. How? How's that peace obtained? Through faith. Through faith. Okay, two things I want you to see here. First one, the first pieces of the armor, guys, all began with a past tense description. In other words, it says here, like, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having girded your waist with truth. All of them are, what tense is that? Yeah, that's important to note because it's something that has... That's why I call it positional stuff, positional armor. Because it's you have already girded that righteousness on you. You already have the truth. You already have the gospel of peace. The next ones, however, are a little more active, and they have words that describe this: taking, being watchful, pray. It's not so much having put on, it is more of a taking a offensive stand. And here are these words. Okay, it says, and first of all, here's these type of battle armaments. Above all, and that, guys, wow, it doesn't say that about any of the other ones, does it? And above all the rest. I thought all the rest were big. But this says, above all, take the shield of faith. Everybody knows what the shield of faith was. If you watched that Spartan show, you know that, well, a Roman shield, for instance, was about 6 foot tall. And when they would launch, and this was so cool in that 300, I watched just that bit. When Xerxes lost, when he launched all those arrows, it darkened the sky. Literally. What did the Spartans do? All the arrows hit the shields. They got back up. They were ready to go. Not one of the arrows got through. So the arrows couldn't work. So when we're talking here about shield of faith, let's look at Romans 10:17. We're going to look at like three or four passages here. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and faith comes by what? Yes. Knowing the impressions of God, knowing the voices of God, knowing the feelings. No, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In context, not ripped out of context. A literal, historical, grammatical, contextual way of interpreting Scripture. Not the, I think this means to me, but instead, let's see what the author was trying to convey, and then that's how it applies. We do that a lot today, don't we? Don't you do that a lot in your Bible studies? I think this means to me this. And so we have 20 different interpretations for one verse. That's not the way to do Bible study, folks. The way you do Bible study is you do it contextually, you do it historically, you do it literally, obviously, and grammatically. In other words, you got to know your grammar. And all of you in here can do those four things. And that will keep you from error. So 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing only by the word of God, folks. Jesus gave us a perfect example, Matthew 4. He said what? Many times. When Satan came against him. For it is written. For it is written. For it is written. And when Satan came against him with a for it is written, Jesus said, well, you know what? For it is also written. Do you realize you can do that too? You can do that to battle the wicked one. He will come at you and say, no, 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 look at this. This is what it says. And part of it, well, he's a liar. His whole scheme is a lie. But he may be pointing out a factual truth. But it's not because he stands in the truth. He's a liar. He's trying to push a lie. And he goes, look at this, look at this, look at this. Look at this scripture says, now what do you do? And you, many times, guys, you have to come back with the, no, for it is also written. Just like Jesus did. For it is also written, boom. You want to look at the word? Read Psalm 119. It's got, Dave, how many is it? How many did we read that night, dude? Oh, man. 150 verses. What was it? Like 150 verses or something. But if you look at the word, guys, in Psalm 119, It talks about the word. How do I keep myself clean? The word. How do I act? The word. How do I do good in this life? The word. How do I protect from sin? The word. The word. The word. The word. The word. Over and over and over and over again. Only, guys, this will stop the fiery darts, and the word is what trains our minds to discern good and evil. Folks, this is the only thing that will stop the fiery darts, is having a renewed mind, practicing by use of practice, having your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, guys, some of us run our lives by our thoughts and feelings. I feel that God wants me to do this. I felt that this was something I should do. Oh man, do we hear that one all the time, boy. God told me to... Folks, I'm going to tell you what, man, in the last days, you won't know what to think if you adhere to that type of stuff. Because the enemy can counterfeit anything. He comes as an angel of light. His ministers are disguised as ministers of righteousness. Sidlow Baxter had a quote that said this. He said, 8 out of 10 times, Satan will use a Christian in order to get to a Christian. He won't use an unbeliever to get to a Christian. He uses another Christian to get to a Christian. In other words, another Christian makes you feel guilty for something that you have no reason to feel guilty for. Another Christian will make you feel like God is mad at you when God has absolutely no reason to be mad at you at all for what you're doing. They'll make you feel shame. They'll make you feel guilt when it's not God telling you that. It's them telling you that. Guys, think about it for a second. How do so many people get deceived in the very end when they say, hey, the Messiah is out here in the desert? Jesus warned against that. Do you know how they get deceived? I'm going to tell you how they get deceived. Because they hear a voice in their head that says, he's the one. Well, is he? Yep, that's the one. That's the Messiah out in the desert. Whoa, dude, I better obey this voice. What does the word say on that topic? The word says on that topic, do not believe them. For as lightning flashes from the east to the west, everybody will see me at one time. If somebody says, the Messiah is out in the desert, no, don't believe them. But see, the problem is, guys, is we look at that and we're like, yeah, why would I believe that? Don't forget how schemey crafty the devil is. There are vast numbers of believers that are going to be deceived through this kind of stuff. There already are, folks. There already are. Because they're already used to listening. They already have the listening attitude inside of them. They're listening to feelings. They're listening to voices. They're listening to impressions. They're listening and thinking that it's the Holy Spirit guiding them, when really what the Spirit uses is the Word. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Well, let's look at the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, this one's a little trickier, because as me and Glenn were talking earlier, it says take up the helmet of salvation. It says very simply, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Well, we know that it doesn't mean in this passage, it doesn't mean that we're saved from things. Take up the helmet of salvation, like as in I got saved from that truck that almost hit me, or a physical something or other. This has reference to a very important piece of the armor. If you get hit in the head, you're dead. Just remember this rhyming word, head dead, okay? Okay? It's like Sesame Street, okay? And if you don't have that helmet on, that is a very important part of the armor. because a mortal wound usually occurs with a headshot. And so when it says, take up the helmet of salvation, I have to go, guys, this has got to be another positional truth that you are having to remind yourself daily, that you are taking up daily, so that the enemy does not get any advantage to you. In other words, this is look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good reminder, isn't it? Remember who you are. Remember what that helmet represents. Remember that you are a new creation. Your old man has been crucified with Jesus Christ. Your body of sin has been done away with. He who has died has been freed from sin. And we're not talking about sinless perfection there, folks. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm simply talking very simply about knowing who you are in Christ. Put on that helmet of salvation. You had a salvation experience. Now remember who you are. All right, let's stop there for just a quick second. Any questions so far, or comments, or add addendums? Okay. Let's move on. Number three, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the big one, guys. This is huge. The Spirit's sword is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 says very simply, and I added 15 here because this is really, really important, because it tells you a lot about Timothy. And Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says, and that from childhood you have known the what? You have known the movements of the Spirit. You have known the movements of your feelings. No, the Holy Scriptures, people. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is the Scriptures, folks, that Paul is talking about here. And then he goes on to our familiar passage, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's the word there? What's the important word? Yep, there's two important words. I guess we go there, Chris. Number one, inspiration of God. Number two, Scripture, right? Okay? It's Scripture, folks, that God gives inspiration. That's God breathed. That's the word to us. Now, some people would say, well, if this is all there is, then my Christian life seems to be, you know, I mean, the mystical part seems to be gone. I mean, that's how I feel connected with God. That's how I feel connection is the mystical, the voice that I hear, or the this way, walk this way, or go that direction, or do this, or do that, or don't do this, or don't do that. Folks, no, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not right. The Word, the Holy Spirit works through the Word, and that's how we commune with God. That's how we know what God is thinking. Now, I read this website this last this week that said, and I'm going to get this wrong, but it said we had 600 billion galaxies. That is their latest estimate. 600 billion galaxies, smaller and bigger than the Milky Way. The other website said that it's very possible that there could be 72 sextillion stars in space. I don't even know what kind of number that is. and it might have said sex quadrillion. It had a number with like 14 zeros on the end of it. It was a lot. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. And folks, and I thought about that, and I thought, God gave us this. Could he have given us more? Yeah. But he gave us this because this is what you need to know. That from childhood you have known the scriptures, which are enough to make you wise, and which are enough to make you wise for salvation. And it is scripture that has been inspired by God, and there's reasons for it. Number one, it's to keep you straight in doctrine. Number two, it's to show you where you get off track. It's to show you your correction, how to get back on track. And it's to show you your just basic instruction in righteousness. Why? So that you can be the man of God, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is there anything more that you need? See, that's where I struggle, folks. And I go here and I sit there and I go, you know what? The Bible says that it's the word that makes you, verse 17, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is there any other experience you need? I mean, do you need to be better than that? Give me something. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm going, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's about as good as it gets. If you live your life like that, that's pretty good. But how do you do that? It's the scriptures, people. And here's the last one. Last one is obviously praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Why, you know, guys, in James, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Folks, we gotta be praying for one another. I mean, really, praying for one another. Some people have said, praying always. In other words, you need to be in prayer 24/7. Well, no, that's not what that means. It means be mindful, thinking about them. You know, I mean, if the fervent prayer of the righteous man is effective and availeth much, then you who are in Christ Jesus can pray to make a difference in somebody's life. Now some of you go, man, you know, I've been praying forever. I've been praying forever for this person. Well, you know what, guys? Don't poo-poo that, because Tom Cale is a great example of people praying. People were praying for him long before he got saved. Way before I was here, people were praying. Paul prayed something like, I don't know, somebody that was smarter than I went to seminary told me that Paul prayed somewhere like 8 to 15 years for the thorn in the flesh to go away. Now that's a long time praying about one little thing, isn't it? And in the end, did God take it away? No. But God finally said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul was done praying. But how many years? Golly. So don't give up praying for people. Let's not quit praying. Let's make sure that we do pray for one another. You know, pray for your pastor and your elders. Because we need a lot of prayer, man. We're going to need a lot of prayer this Wednesday. Because we're meeting with Ivan. He's coming down. And so we're going to need prayer then. All right. Any questions? Any comments? Helen, do you have one? Okay. You know, this is like an auction. You go like this, I'm like right there. Olivia.
I read this book this week. I've always asked the Lord a lot, like, why wouldn't God just come down and tell me what to do?
Right.
Show me what to do. And in this book I'm reading, it's called Disciplines of God. It talks about how God did that at one point in time. He came down. He told the Israelites exactly what to do. And what did they do?
They didn't believe him. Yeah, I know. Whew. That's a good point. You know, some of you guys in here that you struggle with thoughts that are like, oh golly, why did I just think that? You know, maybe you have different personalities. Some of us, we all have a thought like that, and we'll be like, whatever. Some of us are a little more sensitive. We have a thought that comes in that we don't like, and we don't want to be there, and we instantly, oh golly, what does that mean? Why did I think that? You know what, guys? Thoughts are just thoughts, and the enemy can send thoughts. Just move on. The Bible says, cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Lord Jesus Christ. Those aren't your thoughts. God knows it. He knows your true heart. Okay. Any others? Okay. We are going to do communion now. This is where we come together as believers to celebrate in a symbolic way what Jesus has done for us. Tom is going to be the officiating gentleman today, because you know me, I like to give people practice on doing things, and I tried to get him to do it last month, and he said, are you kidding me? And I go, okay, I'll give you a month. And the time of reckoning is here. So all the elders need experience with this, people that were training. So let's we're ready? Let's have our guys come up. And I guess I'm one of the guys. Let's have...